So we're in the second part of our sermon series on unmovable. No matter what hits you, stay the course. And today we're going to be looking at when you're pressured to conform. And if you want to turn to the outline, the sermon notes, you can see several things there that might be helpful to you. You might remember that Daniel had been whisked away to Babylon. And he was about 15 years of age, was a prisoner of war. He rose through the ranks and became, by age 85, second in power, second in influence of the next to the emperor, converting a couple of them along the way. But it wasn't all a piece of cake. I mean, he was living in a foreign land, and he was beset by all kinds of testing. As a matter of fact, living in such an ungodly influence, it was reminiscent of what is written in Proverbs chapter 17. Fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but the Lord tests the heart. This understanding is pivotal to our Christian faith. We come to understand what we call the test and bless a principle. Before every blessing, there's always a testing. And if you're going to be blessed by God, He wants to make sure, first of all, that you can handle the blessing that's coming your way, whether it's a material blessing, a spiritual blessing, a relational blessing, maybe it's even more money. Whatever's coming your way, He wants to make sure you can handle it. And so He will refine us so that we can have the capacity to do what He would have done with those resources for His glory. And so it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says, we speak God's message because God tested us and trusted us to do it. And so Daniel got tested again and again. He got thrown into the lion's den. He got all kinds of things that were happening to him in this kind of a world that he was now living. And every time he passed the test, God blessed him with more. He passed the test, God blessed him with more. Not that it was based on his works, but it was based upon God's working through him to make him more godlike. So his capacity for honoring and praising God grew with each step. So that's the test and bless principle. Now here's the second principle. God tests us with stress before He trusts us with success. Let me say that again. He tests us with stress before He trusts us with success. Have any of you, are any of you finding yourself under a little bit of stress today? All of you? I remember back a number of years ago when my first wife passed away, moved to a new location from Southern California to Northern California. My children all left except my son, who was a teenager. He was a teenager, all right. I didn't know anybody there, new position. And then my mother, who had Alzheimer's, came to live with me. You talk about the stress meter going up over 200. I probably should have been a walking zombie at that point. We all know what stress is like. Some of you are going through stress right now with a whole matter of your health issues that are coming before you, you or your loved ones. Some of you are going through stress right now in the raising of your children or with your grandchildren or people that are in your family that you're praying over and praying for. Others of you are finding yourselves in a situation you never thought you would be in financially or vocationally. And you're asking yourself, Lord, how does this fit into any plan of yours? Some of you are simply wrestling with your faith right now. And you're asking the questions, what do I really believe about Jesus? How is He going to be my Savior and my Lord? How closely will I walk with Him? And you young people, how easy it is to conform. And when you're at school, or when we're at work, or when we're in our area of retirement out at the golf course, or we're with people who take God's name in vain, how easy it is for us to simply not say anything. Simply go along and conform with the crowd because we don't want to hurt anybody else's feelings. We don't want to lose our friends. And so we conform. So this king Nebuchadnezzar enlists a bunch of these young Jewish boys, and he wants them all to conform to the new way of doing things in a godless, secularized culture. He says, we're going to have you wipe out all your memory banks of who God is. I don't want you to think about the nation of Israel anymore. You're now in Babylon. Live like a Babylonian. Dress like a Babylonian. Smell like a Babylonian. I want you to just forget all about the memory of your Lord God. We're going to secularize you. We're going to reprogram you. And in the process of doing so, as he enlists these young men to his court, he says, we're going to beef you up. We're going to feed you king's food. These are 15-year-olds now. This is puberty stuff. 15-year-olds now. You're going to get to eat hamburgers and pizza. You're going to have Coke, and you're going to have candy, and you're going to have all kinds of good stuff, high sauces and rich stuff and food, and you're going to love every minute of it. And he commands the kids to eat all this stuff. You're going to eat the very best of what we have to offer. Daniel refuses to go along with the plan. He says, I'm resolved not to defile myself by eating this royal food and wine. And he asked the chief officer for permission not to defile himself this way. I'm not going to defile myself, he says. Now, when I hear the word defile, I don't know what comes to your mind. What comes to your mind? This is what comes to my mind, and you're not going to like it. Karen's not going to like it. Let's pretend I'm going to draw a bath for Karen. Really nice, huh? Yeah, the water is just the right hot temperature. I put bubbles in it, bubbly all over. Candles, a little glass of wine. Yeah, even me, glass of wine. And nice, fluffy towels, soft, romantic music. I'm not saying I'm going in. She's going in, right? Yeah, okay, she's going in, and she's ready to go in. And then I throw some horse manure in it. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. Did I defile it? And not only did I defile it, but I have a wife who's not going to talk to me for a month. Yeah, so that's not so good. But then when I think of defile, this is really brings it home to me. That's how I defile it. And Daniel says, if I eat this king's food, I'm going to defile myself in three ways. I'm going to defile myself in a health way. In a health way. Did you know there's something called the Daniel plan? Judy, do you have a book? Wait, show it. There's a book called the Daniel plan. And it deals not just with food, but it deals with your faith. It deals with focus. It deals with friends. It deals with fitness. It's a holistic way of looking at things, but it does deal with eating certain kinds of food and not eating certain kinds of food. And Judy said, she's like one of our health gurus together with a few other ones here, she's going to start a health madness, a health something ministry. Fourth Saturday of every month, at your home, free food like Daniel would eat. All vegetables? Not some, pretty much. And free movie. And so if you want to get into this, I think I'm going to go to this. I need to lose about 30 pounds. You know, ever since I had my surgery, I just kept gaining weight. Now, maybe you're going to help me? Oh. Anybody else want to come? Fourth Saturday of the month at her place. And Daryl, you going to be there too, Daryl? Okay. All right. That's going to be good. So that's the Daniel plan. So, health issue. Secondly, as a cultural issue, the Jewish people were kosher in what they ate, right? They didn't just eat anything. Why didn't they just eat anything? Because the law of God said, you shall not eat certain things with blood in it and so on and so forth. Why? Why these prohibitions? Because God was making of the Israelites a people who were peculiar. A peculiar people. Set aside, set apart from the rest of the world to become a light to the Gentiles. And they were to remember in everything they did and even in what they ate that they were different than everybody else. So they would remain focused on their mission. And Daniel says, wait, I'm supposed to eat this way. Now they're telling me to eat that way. And yet Daniel knew what St. Paul said later on. Or actually Jesus said, I think you read it as the gospel lesson for today. You are not defiled by what you eat. You are defiled by what you say and do. In other words, what you take in doesn't make you unclean. It's what comes out of your mouth and out of your lips that makes you unclean. Taking God's name in vain, putting down other people, saying things that are untrue and mean, that's what makes you unclean. But for Daniel, it was a big deal because thirdly, he realized it was a spiritual attack on his own identity. It was another attempt to reprogram him and to have him forget who he was and whose he belonged to. And this became the first test of Daniel that he passed. And when he passed it, he received blessings. Now, let's take from this four things. Here they are. First of all, as a Christian on a walk, on a journey, on a mission, as a disciple, we should never forget who we are. Daniel says, you can change my address. You can change my clothing. You can change the food I eat. But you can never change my heart. You can never change my heart because I am not going to defile my heart. I'm not going to be conformed to this society because I want to stand true to the Lord God. The Apostle Paul made this abundantly clear to us when he said these favorite words from Romans 12:2. Don't conform yourself to the values of this world. Instead, let God transform you by a complete change in the way you think. Then you'll be able to know the will of God. See, we only have two choices in life. One is to be conformed to the way of the world. The second way is to be transformed in our minds to the thinking of the Lord God. And as long as we're conformed to the world and not transformed to the will and purpose of God, we will never know what the will of God is in our life. People go around who are still conformed. They're Christians. They're conformed to the world and much of their life. They come to me and say, I sure wish I knew what God wanted me to do. I sure wish I knew what the will of God was for my life. And they don't know it because they're still conformed to the world. They're still acting in the ways of the world. They need to surrender their life and their appetites and their egos. Because we have one of two ways. We can either demand our rights or we can do what's right. And the way the world is talking, it's one of demanding our rights. It's inclusivism. Everything we want to do, we should be able to do. Nobody should be able to tell us what to do or not to do. And so if we have a certain sexual persuasion, we can go ahead and do it. If we have a certain craving, we can do that. If we have a certain addiction, go for it. Everything's right. Everything's okay. Everything's legal. But for a Christian who's transformed, the question is not what are my rights, but what is right? How do I end up worshiping God? How can I end up in what I'm doing, doing it to worship God? What has He said is the right thing for me to do, to work with Him and worship Him? And He puts that in His Bible. The way we should live on planet Earth. He has a design for what's best for us, even if we don't think so. And so if somebody happens to have an addiction, that addiction will always be there, but that doesn't mean you act out on that addiction. If you're transformed in your mind, you're going to say, I'm going to subjugate that addiction. I'm going to call on the power of the Holy Spirit not to have it rise up so I can always be worshiping you. If I have a sexual persuasion that's ungodly, I may always have it my entire life, but I have a choice to live it out because it's my right. Or I have the choice to worship you, Lord, and subjugate that so that I'm worshiping you in the way you have made me to be a child of God. You have a choice. You're either conformed by the world or transformed by the Word. And then secondly, control your ego and your appetite by discipline. Daniel did that. Daniel made up his mind not to eat the king's food. Now, can you imagine this? You got a 15-year-old without any parental supervision around. And he's got all this good stuff. It's just like having a dog with a donut on his head and telling the dog not to eat the donut, huh? How long is that going to last? Well, Daniel had to have power from above to be able to not overcome these issues. Reminds me of what's going on in today's world with the NFL football starting, right? Or any of the other major sports leagues. So they get somebody out of the ghetto and they give them a multi-million dollar contract. Next thing you know, he's running around with all these wealthy people, got new friends, in a limousine someplace, going to all these things, going to places and doing things he had never dreamt of doing. And pretty soon his whole value system begins to change and he begins to get all mixed up. And he begins to engage in things that hurt him before he craters. And that's what happens when we give kids more than what they should have too early in life. And so we need to have discipline. And third, Daniel had courage. He was willing to stand alone. Listen to what it says in the book of Exodus. Never follow the crowd in doing wrong. And don't be swayed in your testimony by the mood of the majority. How many times have you been at school or at work or in retirement someplace, wherever you go, and someone starts talking to you about a value you know is flat out wrong, but you don't say anything because you might offend them? Daniel did. He spoke up. And that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16. He says, stand true to what you believe. Be courageous. Be strong. We need men and women, and teenagers, and children who are part of the Christian community, who are living in a countercultural existence to the society we've been thrust into, where everything they're saying is right, we're saying is wrong, to be able to stand up at times, to take our stand, to have courage, and to live a life that's righteous. In such a hedonistic culture where everything that is right has turned into wrong, where everything that's light has turned into darkness, where everything that's sweet has become bitter. And then humility is the fourth one. He was tactful with his authority. Listen to this. Then Daniel asked the chief official for permission to eat other things instead. Notice he didn't make a demand. He was tactful. He says, what about if I would just try this experiment out for 10 weeks? And he goes to the higher up because he was afraid he was going to get beheaded. So he went to the higher up. And the higher up says, well, okay, try for 10 weeks. He says, if 10 weeks I'm not stronger than all the other people by eating these vegetables and whatever the Daniel plan is, then I'll capitulate to what you're saying. So he did that, and at the end of 10 days, it says this in the Bible, Daniel and his friends looked healthier and better nourished than any of the friends in the king's training program, and so after that, the guard let them eat their own food. And when the 3-year training program was completed, all the young men were brought to King Nebuchadnezzar, who talked with each one individually. None impressed the king as much as Daniel and his 3 friends, and so they were each promoted to positions in the king's service. They had the testing. Then came the blessing. Daniel never gave up his authority, his integrity. He never compromised in his beliefs. He learned how to be a true witness of the living God, whom he knew was going to be coming in the person of a Messiah. And he, along with St. John in the book of Revelation, were the only 2 people who were given a full glimpse of what the end time was going to look like. Revelation spelled it out for us to see. For Daniel, much of it was sealed up for a later date. But remember this, when you feel like you're all alone, when you feel that you're out there on the limb and nobody's with you and you're the only Christian on the block and you're doing things that that are different than everybody else, you need to remember these things. First of all, Jesus is with you. He never will abandon you nor desert you. He's promised to be with you to the close of the age. This is the Jesus who has died for you. This is the Jesus who has risen for you. This is the Jesus who empowers us so much. Secondly, he brings his Holy Spirit to bear in our life. In our holy baptism, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we hear God's word and read it, we receive the Holy Spirit. What does that Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit works in our heart to transform us so that our mind wants to do the things pleasing to God rather than just do the things that the world tells us to do. And when Satan starts throwing his fiery darts at us, the Holy Spirit is there to counter that. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, third, reminds us of the many, many promises that are in the Bible. 6,000 of them. When Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, all he did was quote Scripture. He just recounted the many promises that were in the Bible. And those, the Word of God is the best defense against, and it's really the greatest offensive weapon against Satan. And then fourth, we have our Christian family. The communion of saints, we call it. Saints because we've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Saints because we come together in community, and where we edify one another and pray for one another. If someone's hurting, if someone's praying for them, if someone's down, someone picks them up. That's what we do together so that we become Christ-like and a witness to the community at large. Daniel believed in the promises of God's love, for he knew what was to happen. And it came out in all fulfillment that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, because God did not come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And that message of salvation, that message of eternal life and the Spirit within will give you and me the motivation and the power to become unmovable no matter what hits us when we're tempted to conform.